Good morning, Lighthouse family. Is everybody here to build a faith community today?
Yeah.
I am. So I hope you're reaching out, loving on some people, talking to some people, especially ones that you don't know. So let's keep working on that. We do want to thank you guys for the funeral dinner this week for Reverend Billy and our family. It was beautiful. Can we just give a hand to all those that helped out the dinner? You guys did a great job. Thank you so much. And for all the cards and the sympathies that were shared, we appreciate that very much. And it's always easier to know where people are going when they've made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And so we know that today Reverend Billy is celebrating and probably telling everybody about West Virginia up in heaven. We do want to let you know that Pastor Caleb will be preaching this morning, and so we're excited to hear a word from him. And so all the teenagers are actually going to stay in with us so they can also hear Pastor Caleb.
We want to inform you next Sunday, we're quickly approaching graduation, and so any students that are going to be graduating this year, next Sunday, we want to pray over you. So that's not just high school graduates, but also college graduates. If you have family members and you want to invite them, go ahead and invite them to come. And that means if they're graduating or if they're just family that want to come support. But also if they can't be here and you want to come and stand in for them. How many know that prayer is powerful and you can stand in for people? And so we're going to do that next Sunday. We want to let you know that.
All right, and then a reminder that today is our monthly Steadfast Ministry at 1:30. So there's information on our website, or you can always go to the welcome desk and get more information if you're interested in checking that out today at 1:30.
And coming up in the month of May, we have Mother's Day, and we are going to be putting on a Mother's Day breakfast for you. The men of the church are going to do that. That's for all ladies. You don't have to be a mother to come. We want you to come and be a part of that. That'll be from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock right in here in this room. We have some amazing men who know how to cook who are going to be preparing food, and other men who don't know how to cook, but they can move tables and chairs and set things up. And so that's what we're going to be putting that on for you to honor you ladies.
And I just saw one of our young men raise his hand, so I expect him to be helping moving tables on that day. Right, Christian? He's volunteering already. And speaking of our young people, we have Kids Camp and Teen Camp coming up. If you want the cheapest rate, parents, you need to register by the end of this month, which is Tuesday. So if you are interested in going to camp, check out the information back by the door and register those children. You can still register after, it's just a little bit more money. So if you want the discount, go ahead and register now.
And so just to make you aware, I hope most of you received a text message from our new text group in the church. We're going to be informing people through that. We're always trying to find technology to keep people in the loop because there's all kinds of things always going on. So this is another way. And we live in the generation of texting, and so we can send out mass texts. And there's some other things coming up with that we can do to keep you in the loop and keep you moving forward with everything. And so we're going to be using that more. If you didn't get a text, you can take and scan this QR code that's up behind me, and that will send you right to your messaging app, and it'll put join in your messages. And if you just hit send, it will join you to that group if you want to get text messages. And then it'll actually send prompts back to you and get your name, and it'll put you all in the texting group so you have everything there. So we have your information and your phone number. And then when we send out text messages, you will get that. I will say this. Some of you replied. Thank you for replying and letting us know you got it. But a lot of these mass text messages, you won't need to reply. You don't have to. But then there are some other things that you can do. And just to make you aware of this, if you need prayer, you can actually take that number, if you saved it in your contacts, and just type prayer. And it'll send you a prompt and ask you what you need prayer for. And then you can type that in, and it'll get sent to our system, and we can make sure we have people praying for you. So it's just little neat little trick things that we have with that. So we want to make you aware of that.
So we're actually giving you permission right now. If you want to join that and don't have it, you can take your phone out and scan it right now. And teenagers, that includes you. I don't know if any of you teenagers got the automatic messages we sent out. So if you want to know what's going on at the church or be able to communicate, you can scan that right now. Or if that's confusing to you, you can go to the Welcome Center and the media people can help you with that. All right, and our last announcement is about Man's Camp coming up.
Yeah, so registration for Man Camp ends at the end of this month for the early bird registration. That's so you can get the deal. It's $150 that way. Otherwise, it goes up. Man Camp is held in August, and it is a great time where guys just go together. It's a campground in southern Indiana. It's right on the border of Kentucky and Indiana. And we had a group of guys go last year, and we just had an amazing time together in the Lord. There's fun activities we do throughout the day, but we have a morning service and an evening service, and the Word of God is just poured into our hearts, and we're encouraged, and there's dynamic praise and worship. And so if you're interested in that, let me know. I actually have around floating around here somewhere. I have a card, or I can get you the information on where to go and register for that so that you can get that early bird deal. Here's the thing. If you don't do it by the end of this month, you can still register. You're just going to have to pay a little bit more. But I am going. My son AJ is going to go with me this year, which I'm excited. And he's going to go zip lining with me. I might be able to get him to do some paintballing with me. I don't know. He's a little nervous about the paintballing, but we did that last year. And so there's lots of fun stuff. But even if you're not into all the adventurous stuff, there's cool areas where you can just sit and talk and have a good time, and you'll get to meet other men of God, and that's what we did last year, and it was a great time. So make plans to join us for that.
So that info is also on our website, posted at the door, and we have a promo video we'll show you, and then Brother Jesse is coming up with our call to worship.
It's time to register for the 2024 M3 Man Camp, Thursday through Saturday, August 8th through 10th, at Country Lake Christian Retreat in Underwood, Indiana, with powerful worship, dynamic preaching, and exceptional activities. Meals and after-service snacks are all-inclusive. Register today for the early bird special, only $150 before May 1st. Go to pcgmen.org to get registered now, and we'll see you at the M3 Man Camp.
Well, praise the Lord, church. It's good to be here this morning. I want to say, too, my boys and I went to Man Camp last year, and it was an amazing time. Like Pastor said, it doesn't matter what your age is. There's something for everyone there. If it's fellowship, if it's getting into the activities, it's all a great time. So I have some scriptures I want to read here this morning, some things that have actually been stirring in my heart for the last week, and it was probably prompted with Pastor's message last week, so I've got one of those scriptures in here. But I want to start out with Psalm 91:4, and it says this: He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. God is our protector. Okay, we have to understand that as Christians, that God is our protector. He has our best interest at heart. And I want to say this too, and I was feeling this, and then Pastor Alicia said it in prayer this morning, that when you're close to God, you're going to hear the heartbeat of God. And I want to relate it like this. When you were younger, maybe you laid your head against your mother's chest and you could feel the heartbeat. And a lot of times that's comforting. When we get close enough to God to feel his heartbeat, we are going to be able to understand and know his comfort and his peace through that. So it's up to us to get close to God. But when we're under there, we're protected and we're nurtured under his wings. And the second part of this scripture says, his faithful promises are your armor and protection. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. So we need to put our faith in the promises of God. So to believe in the promises of God, sometimes we need evidence, right? And how many of you have ever been asked to believe in something that you cannot see, right? What does it take to believe in something that you cannot see? Faith. It takes faith to believe in something you cannot see. So let me take you to Hebrews 11:1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. Faith is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is your evidence. Say, how do I get faith? Everyone already has the faith they need. Everyone has been given a measure of faith enough to believe. Just apply it. I want to say faith is supernatural also, so it's not something that we can just understand with our minds. I'm going to take you to Mark 9:23 real quick, and it says this. This is Jesus speaking. "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." So I want to encourage you, put your faith in Jesus, because anything is possible if you believe. There's a quick story that goes behind that. There was a man in the scripture who had a problem. He had something completely out of his control. He had no way to deal with the problem. He couldn't do anything to fix it. So then along comes Jesus. And here's the cool thing, that this man says, "God, I believe, but help my unbelief." And Jesus went ahead and took care of his problem. He had enough faith to believe in Jesus to take care of his problem. So I want to encourage you this week, this morning, I want you to worship God with me. We need to worship God together, because he is our source. He is our nurturer. He is our protection, and he has what we need. Amen? Amen, Brother Jerry.
Good morning, church. Hey, I just wanted to, you know, several months ago I approached Betty and Debbie about a song that was heavy on my heart, and it's called Fires, and I think they kind of thought maybe I was joking around being a fireman, that I brought it to their attention for them to sing it, but what played heavy on my heart is in the song, it says that you'll pull me through the fires. And sometimes I think people need to understand that not literally a fire, right? It's whether it's a medical problem that you're dealing with, or a relationship, you're going through a divorce, you're going through a troubled period in your life. He will pull you through that fire. That is a fire for you that you have to deal with. And you can sit around here and look around anybody you want to. You can look at the people on the stage. You can look around to the left and right. Every one of us has had to go through a fire. And it's just, that's very important to them. And in the song, it says, "And it feels like I can barely breathe. And I walk through these fires because you're walking with me." And I was telling my wife that it's important that when we talk about walking through the fire, we're not trying to keep up with him. He's walking with us at our pace. So when you think about that, don't ever think that he's leaving you behind. He'll be there with you. So I just want you guys to understand that when we sing about these fires, it's the fires that are going through in your life right now. Every day, last week, last month, last year, tomorrow, there's a fire, but he'll be there for you. And he'll help you get through it. So when we're singing this, I want you guys to just think about that when you see the words and you hear the praise team worship. But, you know, there's a lot of opportunities up here. If you want to come up here during the song and you want to cry or you want to pray or you want to do whatever you want to do, I want you to understand nobody up here is looking at you and thinking less about you because you're up here. Amen. You walked through those doors this morning because you need something, right? And you wanted to be here to support Pastor Joe and all of us and praise God and do everything that we need to do as individuals. But I want you to understand that these are open during church, okay? Especially during praise, okay? So we're getting ready to have the praise team do their thing with Lucas and Paisley. They're going to lead us off, and that is going to be phenomenal. You're going to be excited. Even the kids are already standing up waving their arms, so that's exciting. So I expect everybody to get up and wave their arms here in a few seconds. But so when we start praise and worship here, I want you to understand there's many ways of giving, and it helps everything. There's baskets up here. There's online checks, money, whatever you got to do. But please help us minister to everybody that needs it. And we love you greatly. And the praise team works really hard all week long to bring this to you. But I want to turn it over to these amazing future of our church.
So if you'll all stand with us, and we'll pray over the offering. Heavenly Father, you are so good. You are a good, good Father. We just come before you to give you our all today, Lord. We are going to worship you. We are going to surrender to you. We are going to focus on you, Lord, and see you high and lifted up in this place. And I just pray that you will be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everybody's got a blank page, a story they're writing today, a wall that they're climbing. You can carry. the past on your shoulders, or you can start over regrets. No matter what you're going through, Jesus, he gave it all to save you. He carried the cross on his shoulders, so you can start over.
Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. To the brokenhearted, that which you stay. Never been born, never been torn, never sinned, never disobeyed. I know you think there's no hope.
No.
That ain't true. Jesus saves. I know if you don't regret.
Like I
brought this on myself.
Like I
mess it up big time. This time I deserve God's help.
Thinking,
how can God forgive me after all I did?
Can he?
After all I hid from him and I stayed away backslid.
Listen.
Jesus came for the sick.
So true.
Jesus came for the weak.
Amen.
Jesus came to give good news, to set the captives free.
Amen.
Jesus came for the poor.
Amen.
Jesus came with the keys.
Amen.
Jesus came to remove the chains that prisoners
are. Everybody's got a blank page, a story they're writing, and today, a wall that they're climbing. You can carry the past on your shoulders, or you can start over regrets. No matter what you're going through, Jesus, save you. He carried the cross on his shoulders, so you could start over.
Seas up deeper than the ocean floor, run to his arms like an open door. God the Father sent, so we be free, ain't got no run no more. Come to me who are weary, with heavy burdens I'll give you rest. Separated from your sins, as far as the east, as far as the west. Don't I see forgiveness? What sin, what offense? And when them waves come crashing in, I'll call the wind in your defense.
Whatever
that you've done, you put that punishment on his son.
You
will never come under his condemnation, conquer sin and Satan's accusations. So dry your eyes, lift up your head.
Hallelujah!
God is not dead. Plus he gave it his peace.
His peace.
He took our guilt on this cross instead, took our place, now we embrace a clean slate with the eyes of faith. We know I'm fang love, I'm fang love.
Everybody's got a blank page, a story they're writing today, a wall that they're climbing. You can carry the past on your shoulders, or you can start over regrets. No matter what you're going through, Jesus, he gave it all to save you. He carried the cross on his shoulders, so you can start over. So you can start over. So you can start over.
God for new creations and new starts in Christ. Amen.
I remember how you told me life may not be easy, and everything that I need already given me. I remember how you told me I can trust you completely. So why am I doubting when you prove that you'd fight for me?
You walked me through fire, doesn't mean I won't feel the heat.
is with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, oh, and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. You're here with me. I can do all things, 'cause you strengthen me. I can face anything, 'cause you're here.
You have been so, so good to me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
Can't see it moving here. I'm expecting more at this point in our walk, guys.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Can we just keep this real low, because it's not about the music, it's the words. So let's not even get loud and powerful, but let's let the words resonate with what God does. Church, let's just praise him. He's worthy.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We're not going to rush this moment. God is saying he's doing a new thing. Will you let him? Will you let him lead you to a new place?
Mountains keep me in the valley.
So that we respond appropriately to what God is speaking to us this morning. First of all, as your pastor, I want you to know what's taking place. You find that there are 9 spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we believe that those are continuing in the church today, that those gifts are still active in the church. And you have saw 2 of those gifts displayed this morning. Gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Sister Betty gave a message in tongues or a language that we do not know. So we needed an interpretation of that. Pastor Darius gave us, by the Spirit of God, the interpretation of that message. So this is God speaking directly to us. It's equivalent, and if you jump two chapters over to chapter 14, you find out it's equal or equivalent to prophecy. So God's prophesying to his church today, and he's speaking to us. It's a word of knowledge, but also a word of wisdom. And what he's saying to us is that we're moving into a new season and into a new place. And you'll find that your life is going to be full of seasons, just like winter, spring, summer, and fall, right? We transition from season to season to season. We've moved into spring, and pretty soon we will move into summer. It's a season, right? But your life has seasons. And if we're not careful, we'll get stuck because we think that what worked in the last season is what I'm supposed to do in this new season. But God said, behold, he's doing a new thing. And so there are things you have to let go of so that you can move into your new season, the new place that God's taking you. It's a relationship, right? And we're walking with him. If it's through fires, he's taking us through fires, right? If it's through rainstorms, he's taking us through rainstorms. If it's through lovely fields of flowers, he's walking with us through those as well. Wherever we're going, God is with us. But he knows, listen to me carefully, church, he knows what we need for the specific season we're in. And what we like to do as humans is we get habitual. We have habits. And we get hung up on past habits that we know worked well. And I need you to hear this closely. Some of you have been carrying some things in your heart that you thought were good. And I'll tell you this, for a time and a season, they were, because they protected you. They kept you safe. They were safeguards you put in place. But this is what the Holy Spirit's saying to you now. Now you have to leave those behind. There's still safeguards. There's still guardrails to protect you. God's never going to leave you without those. But these have turned into walls that you have guarding your heart. And God's saying, no, 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 you need to let those down now. You need to leave them behind. Those were for last season. They were helpful. They helped you process hurts and pains, anxieties, things that tried to depress you. It helped you process that. But now you're staying stuck there. And God's saying, it's time to move out. There was a season where they had tents, and they built tents and they lived in tents. And then when they stepped into the land God had promised them, they didn't live in tents anymore, but they built houses, and God established them. So there's a different type of building God wants to do in your heart this morning. And what he's asking you is, can you come lay those things at the altar? Now, I'm not as nice as other people that have been here this morning exhorting to you what the Spirit of God wants you to do. They've given you invitations. Well, I'm your pastor. I'm going to get the rod out, and I'm going to nudge you a little bit harder and say, get up and move. Get out of your seats this morning and respond to the prophetic word God is speaking to you, and come lay it at the altar. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about stuff that you know is holding you back. I mean, I'm right there with you. I've laid some things at the altar. I responded to that word I heard God speak. And I'm saying, God, no, 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 no. I'm not going to let the way I perceive things in the last season, I'm not going to let cross over into this new season. You're giving me new vision, and I'm going to see things clearly, and I'm going to see what you're really doing, not what I think or feel you're doing in my brokenness in my heart. And God is mending people. Come on, come on. You still need to come. God's moving in you right now, and God's initiating healing, and he's letting things fall off of you and drop off of you that you don't need to take into this new season. Hallelujah. That's why we sing, our God is awesome. He is full of awe. We should fear the Lord and keep His commandments. And we look unto Him this morning and we lay these things down to be burnt up at His altar. Any habits or hang-ups that we have that are holding us back, we lay before You, God, this day. You're an awesome God. We know that You're taking them. We thank You that today You've chosen to hunt us down and You have found us this day where we are at. And You are healing us and You are helping us and You are strengthening us right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's sing that chorus again. My God is awesome. Hallelujah.
My God is awesome.
Keep praying. Keep praying, people. Anybody else needs to respond? The altar's still open. Come and respond. This is just worship service. We're still going to have the word this morning. This is just worship. This is how we lay things down and worship.
My God is awesome.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
He's our healer.
He's our healer.
Healer.
guards our hearts and minds. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you right now in this very sacred moment. We thank you for your peace, for your strength, for your comfort, that all extends from your love, that you love us and you care for us. When there are things that happen we don't understand, God, we can trust you through it. When there are things that attack us, Lord, we can hide away in you and you keep us safe. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing these things right now. And I thank you that we have laid things at your altar, burdens that we have begun to carry that we didn't even realize that weren't ours. We've given them to you, Lord, as a form of worship and praise, worship by laying our lives down before you and the things that we carry, and for praise, for thanking you and praising you for how great and awesome you are to take care of us, that you care for our individual needs, Lord. God, I thank you for a new day. Thank you for this new season. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our minds. For opening our eyes, Father, I thank you. I just see scales falling off of eyes and an understanding, the revelation of Jesus Christ coming into us in a deeper way, and those of that we've been praying for that do not know you, Lord. That your saving grace, it's doing its work, Lord. We thank you for that right now. The things that we have been burdened for, the things we're worrying about, the people we're fretting over, the situations and circumstances, God, I thank you that you're moving and intervening in them right now. I thank you for healing bodies and minds and souls. I thank you for provision. I thank you for reconciliation, Lord, that you're reconciling relationships and you're bringing people back together. God, I thank you for what you're doing right now in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory and the praise and the honor for it. Hallelujah. The church said amen. That means let it be so, or so be it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The presence of God is so sweet in this place. We're so grateful that he loves us so much that he will meet us when we come together and join together. His word tells us that just two or three of us would come in his name, that he would come and be in our midst and be in our presence. And so we're so grateful for what God is speaking to us and moving in our hearts and lives, and what he's going to continue to do. And me and Pastor Alicia, it's our hearts that God has his way when we come together, that God ministers to us. And I believe he's already begun to do that. He's cultivating, preparing your heart, moving in your mind so that you can receive the rest that he has for you. And understand this. This is how I view Sundays. Sundays are like coming to a big table that has this spread on it, right? That's going to prepare us for this new week. Sunday's the first day of the week. And we come together to be in the presence of our Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit begins to move and prepare our hearts and deal with us so that the hardships or the joys, whatever it may be that we face this week, we're ready. But it's to initiate that. So I want to challenge you, what you're getting now, what you're going to get out of the word this morning, don't try to live on that till Wednesday or till next Sunday. I mean, you're going to leave this place, and some of you probably ate breakfast, and you're going to leave this place, and you're going to eat lunch, and you're not going to say, well, I'm going to live on that lunch until next Sunday. I guarantee you, you're not going to do that. Come rolling around 5:30, 6 o'clock, your belly's going to start grumbling. You think, man, I need some supper now. And then you're going to go to bed and wake up next morning and say, hey, it's time to eat breakfast on Monday. Why would we then think we're going to do that with spiritual food? Oh, I'm good till next Sunday. No, you're not. You're starving yourself. So Monday morning comes rolling around, and that's when you need to come in the presence of God again. Press in. Spend some time with Him. I'm not talking about just reading your Bible and praying. I'm talking about having some time with God. Don't rush through it. Don't just pop open your devotional or get on your YouVersion app and read all the scriptures you're supposed to read and get it all done and check all the boxes and say, okay, I'm ready to go, because you didn't spend any time with God then. You just did your activities. No, I'm talking about really spending time with God. And if that means sometimes you got to turn everything off and shut out all the distractions and just sit there and say, it's just me and you, God. It's just me and you. I'm just here with you. Just like these moments right now. I'm just here with you. Prepare my heart for this day, because you know what's going to happen. I don't. Make me ready. That's what it's all about. As you begin to do that with God, your devotional life will begin to carry you through every day of the week. And you won't be coming in on Sundays starving, hungry, saying, man, I need something this morning. Yeah, you've been eating every day. I like to eat. Anybody else like to eat? Y'all a little subdued, yeah. I got some boys in the back here like to eat. Yeah, you better believe it. So I don't want to wait until tomorrow. I mean, I'm so bad sometimes I'm getting snacks in between the meal times, right? What if we approach God like that? What if the snack was just a hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, in the middle of our day? There's a quickening in our spirit, and then we come again and feast at His table. That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's about spending time with God and having a relationship with Him. And so I'm so grateful for a church that wants that, that you're hungry for that. When we come together, that's what it's all about. Amen. Well, we're going to transition in this service and move to the Word, and we're going to release our kids to go to kids' service this morning. 7 to 12 is our kids' service, and you're more than welcome to go back and do that. Then we also have a preschool, which is 3 to 6-year-olds. And then a nursery for your babies. Now, our teens are going to stay in here this morning because our teen pastor is going to be ministering to us, one of our teen pastors. And so we're going to let them stay in here and be with us this morning. And I hope that you give your attention to Pastor Caleb. I want to say I appreciate him and Leah both very much. Can you give them a hand of appreciation? They work hard in our church. Not just with dealing with the teens, but they do all kinds of things, and just proud of them, so proud of them, everything that they keep walking through and doing, and what the Lord has in store, not only what they've done, but what God's still going to do, right? And so we want Pastor Caleb to come this morning and bring you the Word. Come on, brother.
Pretty good service around here. Yeah. It's a product of what we have, what we've seen and what our pastors have birthed in us here, and the words that they've carried out is the service that we you see in this place. It's not just, we just don't want to be here to help you get through your day, but we want to be here to literally minister and help guide you and direct you, even to the time right here that's ministry, pulling a pulpit out for somebody to speak. It's a beautiful thing, and we're blessed to have what we have at the Lighthouse. And I just want to start off with saying, you know, thank you on behalf of me and Leah for the teens, and the, you know, you guys trust us with them, and you let them come back, and we do all kinds of fun stuff, and it's just amazing to see what they do and how well they're growing and stuff back there. And the reason I brought this up and partially kept him out here today was because kind of this message that I have is literally, I talked to Pastor Joe a while back, and I said, man, I got something that I want to speak on a Sunday, I believe, sometime. And he's like, I'll get you penciled in this year. 2 weeks later, he says, hey, can you preach next Sunday? And I said, yeah. And I thought, you know, I thought it was just the one single message that I did on a Wednesday. But as I started putting this together, I was like, wow, this is crazy. This is like 4 different messages in a row here that's getting combined into one. So this morning, as these things that have taken place here And as the service has been going this morning, I'm sitting there and I look over at Paisley and I'm like, hey, check this out. And I show her some of my notes towards the end of my sermon. And words that are being spoke up here are exact words that I have in this right here. And she's like, oh my gosh, Dad. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, this is awesome. But that is what God is doing. And I believe that everything that's been spoken to so far today is exactly what he is doing in this place. But I want to start off this morning. I have a lot of scripture reading a little bit throughout this, and there's some larger passages, and I'm not sorry for that. But I'm just going to tell you that to bear with me. I may not be the best reader, but I'm going to try to get through it. But the title of this message that I kind of came up with, that I felt the Lord give me close to the end of putting this together, was simply the root of the call. The root of the call. The root of what God has called us to do. The root of all the things you see in the ministries that we've talked about taking place. The root of that. And my hope and prayer is, by the end of this, we have a whole new foundation that has been just rooted over top of roots in what God has called us to do. But I'm going to start off to you this morning in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And it says, summoning his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and sickness. Now, I want to jump down to Matthew 10, verse 5 to 15. And it reads, Jesus sent out these 12 after giving them instructions. Don't take the road that leads to the Gentiles, and don't enter any Samaritan town. Instead, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, and freely you give. Don't acquire gold, silver, or copper for your money belts. Don't take a traveling bag for the road, or an extra shirt and sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his food. When you enter any town or village, find out who is worthy and stay there until you leave. Greet a household when you enter it. And if the household is worthy, let your peace be on it. But if it is unworthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone does not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off of your feet, then when you leave in that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that. Jesus summoned his 12. Now, when I read this, I was looking through this, and when I was actually studying this portion for the teens back there, I looked up that word summon, as he used it in the Greek. And the word that give me is pronounced, I believe pronounced, proskaleo, meaning he called them. That's what that word means. Jesus called them, and then he equipped them. If you understand what I'm doing in my message, this first portion, we're going to be talking about him equipping. He called and he equipped with authority is what we see here, right? Now, jumping into Luke 10:19. I wanted to just touch a little bit of base on the word authority. It says, look, I have given you the authority to trample on... Where's Andy? He knows this one. I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing at all will harm you. This is the authority in which Christ is equipping us, or has equipped us, or equips you with, or you wake up with when you wake up as a Christian, and when you go to sleep at night as a Christian, this is the same authority that he is talking about that we have in our lives. And I love how they go into the words, he says, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing those with leprosy, driving out demons, right? This is more than just what he does. This is who he is. And what we have done as Christians, right, is we try to put these labels on, or these specific times, right, for the healings to take place. No. Jesus actually, when he walks into a room, you see these things taking place. It wasn't just, the people would hear that he's in town and they're coming to him, right? It's what he did. And I love, when I was looking at this, I loved as I dug in a little bit deeper, and I'm like, man, this is crazy. You go back to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35. And this is what he said. He prophesied over what's to come. And he said, strengthen the weak in hands. Steady the shaking knees. Stay to the cowardly. Be strong. Don't fear. He is your God. Vengeance is coming. God's retribution is coming. He will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be open, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy, for water will gush in the wilderness. I have nothing more to say to you after this scripture than you are equipped, right? He has equipped you. And you look back in there and you see these things that was prophesied for him to come. When this is what how they knew he was coming before. He said this is what's going to take place. This is all the way back in the Old Testament. And then Jesus, when he's laying these things out, who I am, he's saying exactly the type of things that was prophesied before. Those of you that understand words of prophecy in the Old Testament, really, because I'll be honest with you, I may be a youth pastor, but I don't have it all figured out yet, all right? So there's certain times when I look and I see the correlation between Scripture from the old and the new that really means something to me. It sticks with me. It's a revelation to me, right, of the knowledge. But we have also been commissioned. We have also been commissioned, all right? In Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20, I told you I was going to do a little bit of reading, but I'm almost done for the beginning. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted, and Jesus came near and said to them, again, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. We have all been commissioned. This word is not just for the leaders of the church. This word is for the Christian, the person who has accepted Christ into their life. You have been commissioned, right? This is not also, this was not a question from him. This was a command. He didn't say, if you want to go out and minister to people and lead them to me, go ahead and do that. No, he said, I'm commissioning you to send you out of this place and speak to people about me, teaching them my ways, going in authority. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to allow you to operate in this authority to for people to receive healings and things like this. Why? Because that's who I am. That's what I do. It wouldn't be just for me to lead someone or for you to give you the authority to do these things if it wouldn't take place. Jesus gives us the authority. He equips us, and then he sends us, right? He doesn't just bring us in here and throw you out. The Bible refers to it as a sheep among wolves, right? But what he does is, what we don't realize is that sheep, we don't get devoured by wolves, right? But you're going to have things coming at you saying that, I don't know if you should do this, or this is probably not a good idea, or I've dealt with it all week long with this message, like, how are you going to do this, Caleb? Why are you doing this? This is wrong, right? I still had to fight that. But he gives me the authority to, and as well as you, he says here, over heaven and earth. And I believe when we read that, the authority that's being spoken about here is not just the authority to lay hands on somebody, but we also are given the authority to take authority over ourselves, right? And I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but here in a little bit, we're going to get into that Romans 8, the battle versus the flesh and the spirit in our own life. But we have to take authority over our own self, right? And then we don't just give up when we mess up, because we're going to mess up. And I've messed up 100 times to 1 all the time sometimes, but I try not to, and I try to get better about it. And you know what? At the end of the day, I know that he's still got a place for me, and I'm still going to serve him and carry out the things that he's got for me to do, even when I sit in a church service and think to myself, how are you going to do this? Why? Because he has given this to me. Over heaven and earth, and we have all we need, but what are we doing? This is where we're going to start getting into a lot of what we've heard being taking place this morning. Again, I am not here today to speak a word that makes people upset or angry or anything like that, but I'm here to give you a word. And listen, I'm not in here on Sundays all the time. I'm with Leah back there, whatever she needs, anything else. So I don't really know all the things that Pastor's been preaching out here lately. But as I'm reading through some of this and putting this together, I thought, this maybe this is heavy. There's some heavy stuff in here. And just let me make this clear that I'm speaking to myself too. But he has given us all we need. And yet we find ourselves in a place, talking to myself too, where when we pray, it's Sunday and Wednesday. We have allowed ourselves to get into the moments where we can coast through Monday to Saturday, right? But the only time we're really, really, really digging in or is right here in this place. Right here. This is where it's taking place. There's a reason. Have you ever seen the movie, is it War Room? The Closet, right? That's amazing. How many people have a war room in their home? Every single one of us should have our hands up right now, me included. But this is where we're at. And when we do pray, we are so focused on asking God to activate something with inside of us to help us do what he has called us to do. But maybe, just maybe, we should start asking God to give us words we need to speak to somebody versus asking him to give us somebody to speak to, right? Maybe we should trust in the things that we know that he has already blessed us and given us, right? He has given us authority and power and all these great things, but I'm here to tell you today, he's also given you a mindset, and he's with you always, right? And when you don't know what to say, he'll be there to help you because he's inside of you, and he's going to guide you and lead you, and we must trust in him, but we got to do it. It's got to start. The church is the church inside a building, but we got to be the church outside of the church house, right? We got to start learning how to pray on our knees at home. We got to start getting to the place in our minds, right? Where when we're treating our relationship with Christ like it was said earlier, like the food that we eat every day, the meals, the snacks that we have. This is the mindset that we must take over. I love when Jesus shows me some things in my life where I'm like, wow, this is for me. The word, it says that the harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. That leads me to believe that the reason the labors are few is because the labors are, we're still wrestling our own self too often, and we're not giving time or even allowing ourselves to become attracted to the thought or the idea that there's people out there that don't know Christ and they need to get saved, and we have lost that, right? We have been so focused on things. I don't want to go too far because I want to ask a question. Do I have anybody in here that is a do-it-yourself person? Right? Is anybody a do-it-yourself? You know the do-it-yourself people. You go to their house, you go to their garage, you walk in there, and it's like, boom. They got every tool. I think of Nick Gilbert, honestly, when I think of this, right? If you need something, you call him. Now, I'm not saying you're allowed to. I am. I don't know about you. But you call, and he's got it, right? This is what I think of. But this is kind of a twofold thing in relation to where I'm going. On one side of this, someone could have it all, everything they need, and they're such a do-it-yourself person, they try to do everything on their own, and in which you will fall on your face, especially in regards to spreading the gospel of Christ. It happens. It absolutely happens. But on the other side of this, what you see here is, what good is it to have every tool in the garage, but it never comes out off the shelf? What good? And I had this picture here, and I liked it because Look at how nice and neat that is, right? It's so beautiful. I don't have a garage that looks that way on my tool belt. Not so long ago, I just had ducks on it, but that's all right. But everything is put away nice and neat. Our tool shed, right? The things that he has equipped us with. Spiritually speaking, that ought to be a wreck. Why? Because, I got to do... This is what needs to be done. I'm going to get this tool today, and I'm going to set it down right here, and I'm going to go get something else, and we got to go back around and clean it up, right? But what good is all the equipping that he has given us when he has called us to spread the gospel and called us to use these things, but yet we haven't picked up a tool out of our shed? We haven't done it. We're so focused. We've gotten to the place where we're so focused on ourselves. Can I tell you as a Christian that we shouldn't have to worry about ourselves all the time? You shouldn't have to go to sleep at night saying, Father, forgive me for the sins that I made today so that I can go to heaven tomorrow. No, we're going to go to heaven tomorrow, okay? And if you mess up, go ahead and repent for that. But that sanctification process, it should get you to a point where, okay, I shouldn't have to worry about me anymore. We got to get past ourselves so that we can get this word out of this church into the world. And I'm not saying we got to be perfect, because no one is. No one can be. He's the only one. But he is with us. We can have all the knowledge and everything to operate with every tool that he has given us, but it does nothing if it doesn't come off the shelf. And this applies with the same equipping that he has given us. But we're tired. We've given all that we've got to give. We're wore out. I've exhausted myself in ministry, and I'm tired of it. Right? You'd be a teen pastor. You'll know what it's like to get tired of things at times. No offense, guys. All right? You know that we love you. But it's that this is what happens when we when we get this equipping and we start doing things. We either leave it all alone or we get going with it and we try to do all these stuff, and then we just get overwhelmed with things, right? Remember we talked a little bit ago about more than just me doing it, right? The do-it-yourselfer with others is better than just the do-it-yourselfer. But when you have these things, it's really not about not getting wore out or not getting tired. Ministry is tough. Sharing Christ is tough. One of the things that I teach these kids, I'll be honest with you, and I would imagine nobody would have a problem with it, but I'm going to be real. When I have a new teen or that decides to give their life to Christ back there, you know what one of the first things that we say to them is? Hey, get ready, because your life's about to get tougher. I'm not going to give them a false hope thinking that, listen, Christ is in me, because we follow up with that, but I don't just say, listen, it's going to be great, all these things are going to work perfect for you, because no, absolutely not. I will say, listen, what you're about to receive is the one that'll get you through the hard times, because the hard times are about to come, because you are not a slave to the enemy anymore. You are now a Christian, right? And now he knows that he's going to have to come pretty stinking hard to get you back. And he's going to fight, and he's going to dig, and he's going to scratch, and he's going to pull on you like you've never felt before. But let me tell you about what you have now, right? You don't have just an empty garage, per se, with nothing but shelves in it. You have tools, right? And this is what we need. This is what it, oh my Lord. As Christians, we should expect things to be tough. We really should. We should expect life in general and walls to come crashing down at times, because we're not in heaven yet. We are not there. We are still here, and we still have a job to do. But let me move on. Maybe we're trying to step aside so the next generation can come in. Let me say it again. Maybe we're trying to step aside so the next generation can. Maybe so. Now I'm speaking to the senior, right? I'll use a good word. If I don't, my grandma's right there. But maybe we're trying to step aside, right? So we have all these tools, but we're stepping aside so the next one can come in, right? You know, when I heard that this morning, we talked about the new things are coming and all these things, and I thought, wow, this is how I used to see this, like, get out of my way because here I come. But now what I see is come on, this is what I need. It's not about stepping aside. I won't make you walk unless you can. Can you walk? Well, let's walk, right? So It's not about get out of my way so that I can do ministry now, because the way that ministry works is a little different than what it used to be, and I know what the new day and age is, so I'm going to step in. So what we have is older generations that'll say, you know what, it's okay, my time's over. No. Can I tell you what we need? We need you guys to come alongside of us young people right here and say, look, this is how I used to do it. Right? This is how I've done it my whole life. Right here is where it's at. You see, the generations of my day and a little younger, we can sit you back down, sir. Now I got to help him, see? But I'm blessed to be in a, so my generation of my age group, right? Like Jonathan was with me, David Turner, we were all like together all the time, and we were blessed in this church to see some things, right? I was able to see old-time, real Pentecostal, not that nothing we have now is not real, but I got to see some awesome stuff. I got to see people running around the church building. I got to see things where the fire of God fell and people would just fall out in the spirit. Listen, it's not all about the flashy things. That's not what I'm getting at. But what I'm saying is we can't sit around and pray and pray and pray and ask God for this mighty thing to come and revive us again. It's going to come through this next generation who word after word after word has been spoken. You ever wonder that? Like, man, all these things are spoken over this generation that's up and coming, but it hasn't happened yet. Well, I'm kind of being led to believe that it's never going to happen until you guys start teaching us how to have revival. Right? How to break through the plates of heaven in prayer. How to fall on our knees and pray to get through situations in life, right? I'm not putting this on you guys as the seniors, and I'm trying my best not to look at people when I say that, but I'll just look at Ryan. Seniors. But you understand what I'm saying? This is a joint thing that we must have. And this generation that's coming up behind you will not be able to carry this out unless they are properly taught and shown how by the generation before them. Yeah, we have the Holy Spirit, but He has set them in a place where we have a balance of old and young. And in order, when we find this connection there, is when you're going to see real revival happen. It's when you're going to see things happen in church services where people are falling down in the love of Jesus, and you're going to see people walk through them doors out there, and they're going to come in here and they're going to leave changed. And it's not just going to be here where we're ministering to people. You're going to see people able to walk outside of this place and go minister to people, and then your young people can contact the older people and say, how do I do this today? You know, here in this place is where it's their job to feed us so that we can get out of here and do what needs to happen. But maybe we've just emptied what was once full and we haven't been refilled. Maybe we've been so focused on our outward service that we have left our inward worship. I'm touching every aspect of this morning. And believe me, the teens heard all of it. But maybe we are so focused on our outward service, the ins and outs of ministry, and I got to do this, or I got to lead that person. Because, yeah, He equips and calls us to go do these things, but you can come depleted if all you do, or all we do, is try to pour and pour and pour and pour. And that, what happens there is we get so worked up about all the craziness going on around us, right? And we're trying to do all these things to keep our ducks in a row. We want to be organized. We want to be, you know, we want this to happen like this and this and this and this, right? That's what we get focused on. And then all of a sudden, our outward service of those, it takes priority over our inward worship. What we need here, and so that when we leave here, we can do it out there. And when I thought about this, two words come to me, because when I put this message together a couple weeks ago, this portion of this, I was talking with Ryan, and I could just, his words just ring in my ear, but the words, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. Many of us know the story, and I'm going to read some of it here, but in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, it reads, while they were traveling, He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him to her home. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her." I put a question in here to read just because I thought it would be interesting. How many women do we have in here that can't stand having a messy house when company's coming over? Now we got unity. See that? Yeah. Leah hates it, right? And I'm usually like, so? Let's just show them who we really are. Usually then the house has to be cleaned, all right, before they show up, or Caleb don't get to go deer hunting. So but that's what we become focused on, right? Martha was so focused on her outward service in this moment. Now, just to give you a little context in this day and age, and time, this was custom for women, right? When a man showed up, they served them, right? That's just what they did. So this was more than just, hey, my house is messy. This is not right. This is not right. Doing it like this, this isn't right. We shouldn't do it like this, right? So this is more than just that. But what Martha did, and I love how Jesus just calls her by name, right? And he talks to her. But what this is an example of, right, of what Martha was doing around the house is the direct example of ministry, right, in our lives that I'm using this for today. And is we are so focused on our outward service, as Martha was focused on her outward service in that moment. We get so distracted almost, right? And let me tell you, stop saying it's the devil all the time, when really it's just us not keeping our focus where we need to be focused at, right? We're sitting here trying to rebuke the enemy for all these things in our mind. It's like, hey, now I'm talking to me. Hey, dummy, all right? What are you doing, right? That's how I talk to myself. I'm not saying, I'm not calling you dumb, nor would I believe anyone else would, because you're all smart. But this is literally the context that I am. Again, teen pastor, all right? But we got to stop thinking all the time that it's him. And then, because what we do when you do that is basically our rebuke turns into a cop-out for what's really taking place. And it's not about, we don't need a cop-out. We don't need to cop out of these things. No, we need to just stop, sometimes just lay down all this stuff that is driving us nuts and crazy, so we can just get back to realizing, oh, wait a second, that wasn't Satan. That was just myself having to forget about what I really needed to do here. And I'm so worried about all the other things going on in the room around me. But see, ministry is taking place in the lives who serve, to the point that we have lost focus again on our inward worship to be consumed by the outward service, right? And what happens when that takes place, right? First off, I'll say this. If your heart's not in it, take your hands out of it. If your heart's not in it, take your hands out of it. That's an important thing to know. That's an important thing to know, because you won't do it right. You're just going to do it yourself. I can tell you, if my heart wasn't in what I'm doing right this second, I wouldn't be up here, right? Because I wouldn't, to be honest with you, it's a little nerve-wracking to see all of your faces, right, sometimes, and you're like, are they going to amen me or not? Or, you know, Pastor Joe, is he going to look down and read his Bible and see if I'm doing this right? You know, sometimes those, I used to really battle that. I don't anymore. Why? I'll tell you why. Well, it's easy. I prayed first. I knew that God's called me, and I knew that he's equipped me. And at the end of the day, I'm just going to flow in what he's given me. And if I'm wrong somewhere along the lines, guess what? Somebody right here has the authority to say, hey, bud, what's up? And I used to say, why do you got to ask me that all the time, right? Exactly what he's saying to me is, hey, listen, I'm not trying to tell you yes or no. I'm just saying, help me understand where you're at with things. And guess what? He's got the authority over me to say, stop. Don't do that. I don't want you to do that. And I probably don't like it all the time, right? But that's fine. But when we leave our inward worship and we start with so much of the outward service, we can't see life this way. It becomes so much harder to see the real roots of the spiritual battle that's taking place. We must remain constant with our inward worship. And if you can't have an inward worship, you got no business doing an outward service, right? And I'll say it like this. You don't even got business cleaning toilets if you don't have an inward service. No, that's not just a job we're going to throw you on because you don't have to minister. No. Mary found the feet. She sat, she listened, and she was getting filled. And here's where we started really when Sister Tasia started talking this morning. And when she said the feet of Jesus and, oh, my Lord, I'm like, my God, she's going to preach it. Psalm 23:5 says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Where do you find your refilling is at the feet of Jesus, right? That is where we go to become refilled. That is where we need to find ourselves so that we can actively be able to have a ministry and be able to share the gospel to the people of this world. Ministry cannot be done by the leading and guidance of ministry can only be done by the leading and guidance of Holy Spirit, right? In which we do receive upon salvation, okay? I'll prove it to you. It's very easy. I'm not going to get too hung up on it because we're Pentecostal and I don't want to make anybody, I'm kidding. But Ephesians 1:13, in him you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. My quick nidbit on this is, okay, you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, all the tools you need, right? You get filled with the Holy Ghost, all your tools turn into power tools, all right? Essentially, that's what I'm getting at with that. I'm not going to go any further in that area because that's not what I'm focusing on today. But we pour and we pour and we pour, and our focus abandons our need for a refilling, and we have become depleted. And this is 99.9% of ministry that is having a hard time, is it is depleting. Why? Because you are pouring yourself and pouring yourself and pouring yourself out. And oh, I got to wait till Wednesday or Sunday before I can come to church and get filled again. No, no. This is an altar, 100%, where we came earlier and laid down some things in our life that have been hindering not, like he said, not even just sinful things, but ourselves, right, that we've got going on that are distracting us, right? And it's not just here, but it is at his feet, and his feet are wherever you're at in that moment. You fall down and you just sit at his feet and you become refilled. This is this place, in these walls. We come here to be filled, right? This is not the only place where we get filled, but this is the essentially our filling house, right? This is the lighthouse, right? The Lighthouse Pentecostal Church of God. And we are here right now being filled for what? Absolutely nothing if you don't ever shine outside of the house, right? But again, you can be one of those shiners that shine all the time, and you're wondering and asking yourself, why am I feeling like this? Why do I not want to do this today? Why am I at a point in my life that ministry just seems pointless to me, or I don't like this anymore, or this is too hard for me, or I just don't want to do this anymore? Well, again, maybe it's just because you have not allowed yourself to be filled in a long time. When I did this with the teens, we had an awesome demonstration with water, and we filled up this gallon. It was like a water jug. And as we filled it up, it got full, right? And then I was talking about pouring out, and I kept putting my hand in there, and the water would splash out everywhere, and it would just become empty. And then, like I said, I was like, look, this is you right here. When you minister all the time without receiving anything, and you just become empty and empty and empty. And if you're not getting refilled, you're going to get to that point where you have nothing to pour out anymore, and it's going to seem pointless to you. And you will leave. You will leave what God has given you in eternal life. You will walk away from that. I have done that. I have been there, right? Many of us have. But what I loved about that demonstration is when we turn the water back on, and the water started to rise, and the teens were like, oh, what's going to happen? Which it did. We made a mess, which is fine. But as that water rised up and it got full again, and I was like, you can still pour again and put yourself in the same situation here. But when you find that balance of the infilling and the outpouring, you have a balance in your life, in your ministry, to where, okay, I'm recognizing that I'm getting a little tired here. I'm struggling a little bit more than I used to be. Okay, stop blaming everybody else and go find the feet of Jesus and get your filling. Go get your filling. I'm not saying the enemy doesn't come at us. I'm talking to Christians this morning, right? And if you're here and you're not saved, you can be. And we'll do this all over again just to help you understand. But we have to find that balance. When we pour, we receive. But if you don't, you, as I said, become deflated. And this is where I was saying earlier, that Romans 8:5 battle of the flesh versus the spirit. Romans 8:5, for those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the spirit have their mindset on the things of the spirit. What starts to happen is our flesh points us in the direction of what the world says to us. That's what starts to take place. Our flesh, when we start losing and we become so emptied, all of a sudden what could once understand and once see and once deem make sense to us spiritually speaking, right? We stop losing that. And we go back to what our carnal or fleshly mindset has taught us, right? So you think of, you know, yesterday's generation or culture. You know, we go back to that. We got to work for money so we can pay for our wants and needs, right? That's where our mind goes. We leave the ask God and surrender our hearts to him, and we go to that. Or you can go to today's, right, when it teaches us that we just ask for money and we can get things we want, right? I promise I'm not going governmental on here this morning, but this is what we see. And we start asking ourselves, what is going on in the church? Why are they acting like this, or what's taking place here and all these things? Well, I'll tell you, we need a refilling from the feet of Jesus. And it doesn't have to be a great, mighty, powerful revival where you get refilled. No, again, you can get refilled at your home at the feet of Jesus. You can get filled on a Sunday morning at the feet of Jesus. You can get filled anywhere you are. Just find the feet of Jesus. They are there, available to you all the time. But we have just not allowed ourselves to humbly sit down and just sit at his feet and say, you know what, I need more of you. You know, it shouldn't be degrading for you to ask for him to pour into you. It doesn't have to be. No, he wants to pour into us. He says, ask and it will be given to you. But we must give him all of us. I love the example of the woman at the well. I don't know if I gave him this scripture or not, but it's John 14:13. Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. This is Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman. But whoever drinks from this water that I will give him will never thirst again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. And in 4:26, it says, Jesus told her, I, the one speaking to you, am he. He is the well in which we draw from. He is the one where we go to daily and daily. And just imagine being that woman there at the well saying, what are you talking about? And he says, I am. I am the well. Right? Pour me a drink, right? I am the well, and I'm going to pour out of you as much as you let me pour into you. I will use you and I will pour out of you because I need you, all of you in here in this place, in order to spread the gospel to this world, right? We got to stop worrying about when he's going to come back and just start accepting the fact that, well, I'm still here. I have a duty and a due diligence to spread the gospel of Christ. And if I'm telling you, if you're still spreading the gospel of Christ and he's still here to fill you, that well that will never go dry, that well that will come into you and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, right? You want to be a tree planted by the water whose roots draw from his water, right? Then the leaves never fall off. They never wither. All these things take place. This is where we need to be, our mindset with Christianity and general speaking, so that we can effectively do what we are called to do. And we can only do that if you know how to get back to the feet of Jesus, where you can once again be filled. He wants all of us. All of us. That was something that was said this morning as well. He said to the curious rich young ruler, when he was asked, what do I do to have eternal life? He says, if you want to be perfect, go sell all your belongings, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven to come, follow me. He wants our heart. He wants our devotion. He wants our the entirety of our lives, right? And the easy part is accepting that. The hard part is truly giving him that. The hard part is really saying, you know what? I'm going to set aside what I think this should look like to let you do it as it with what you think it should be, right? It's not easy getting to this point in our lives where we set ourselves back and allow him to come into us and giving him everything. Everything. You see, this is my last scripture, I promise. In Matthew 26, 6 through 13, we want to talk about someone that wanted to give her all. It says, while Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman approached him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. She poured it on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw it, they were indignant. Why the waste, they asked. This might have been sold for a great deal and given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a noble thing for me. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. By pouring this perfume on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be done, will be told in memory of her. The alabaster box. You look into this and how expensive this was back in that day and age. It was the most expensive thing that this woman would have had in her home, right? The absolute most. And the worship team, you guys can start making your way back if you would. But this alabaster box that was full, and it said I believe the word was nard, the correct word, but we call it, you know, perfume. And this was her most valuable possession. And she came and she poured it out, broke it and poured it on him, preparation, anointing him for burial, right? And what God is, I believe, showing us through this, in this time, right here in this place, is he wants everything that we have to give, but he's also teaching us some things. He's teaching us that it is me and I want to pour into you. In order for you to do what you need to do and what you're called to do, you must have an opening for me to come into you and pour into you daily, right? But he wants everything. He just doesn't want our service, right? He doesn't just want our acts of service that we portray in a church service. He doesn't just want someone to pull up a pulpit for a guy that wanted to stand down here, right? He doesn't just want that, although he needs that. We need this. This is structure and order, right, for someone to do that. But it's more than this. He needs people, right, to not just be here on Sunday, you know? It's, you know, the amount of weight that we can carry, and as I'll say it as pastors, right? Even as youth and house pastors, right? And they don't know I didn't know I was going here, but I'll be honest with you. As I'll just speak about me, right? And I speak to these teens. I tell them all the time, hey, I can't go get these your friends for you. I can't do it. I will help you minister to them. I will help you. I will give you the things that you need and try to help acknowledge or equip you with these things, right? But even in here is where we receive what we need to go. It's not our pastors, our administrative pastors of any capacities. It's not just all that responsibility for those people. No. As pastors and leaders of this church, we need you. And I speak this word to you today, hoping that you can find back at the feet of Jesus. You've already came up here today, and you've already set some things down, right? You let go of some blockers that you had going on in your life. And I hope and pray that that was genuine, right, and real. Because here's what I want to happen, right? I don't want us to be the Christian that sits here and hears God speaking to me but I don't act on it because I'm nervous and scared and all these things. You know, this area helps that too. Just come and let Him pour into you. Today I want to make the offer to you, if you would like for Christ to just pour back into you more again, right, and be filled again, then I would love for you to give Him and find His feet this morning, right? I would love for you to just find His feet and allow Him to just pour into you. And don't come to Jesus. Listen, there's a time and place to pray for everything. And I believe that I'm not being controlling, but I'm telling you, when you find your place to pray this morning, set aside the things that you need in your life, the things that you want to pray for, you know, my grandma this or grandpa or my friends this and all those things. You know what? This morning is a time where we need to just draw. Can we draw from His well this morning? Can we find His feet and just say, I'm here and I'm listening for You, right? It was in when Elijah was in the cave, all the things, the winds, the everything took place, but it was that whisper when God spoke to him. This morning I would love for you to open your hearts up to hear the whisper and be filled by Him. I'm not talking about filled with the Holy Spirit, although I'm not saying it can't happen either. But can we just be poured into at the feet of Jesus? So I will ask anyone this morning who would love to come up here and just sit at His feet and allow Him to pour into you. I will make this open to you now, right? And we have people in this place. We have a care team. We have prayer team. And if they could be available up here for people. If anybody needs prayer for anything specific in your life or anything like that, we also want to pray for you, right? We have people that will assist and guide in that. If you want to know Jesus this morning, we will pray for you. We would love to lead you to Him. And it's more than just the words that you're going to say in a prayer, but we will teach you what you're actually doing in your life this morning. So I would love if this is in you this morning and you would love to do that, we would love to have you just come up here. But I'm just going to give it some time, and I'm just going to sit at the feet of Jesus myself, and I'm just going to glean this morning. Hallelujah.
And I will pour out my
us that out of our belly or our innermost being, our souls really is what it's talking about, shall flow rivers of living water. And he follows up and says, thus he spoke of the Holy Spirit. What he's saying here is when we come and we are refreshed and renewed, we're connected to a river and a flow of the Spirit that fills us up but comes out of us. And so the word this morning is, yes, we've been equipped and commissioned, but if we forget the first thing, which is to come and just be with Jesus, then we will burn ourselves out and we will try to build cisterns where we just come and catch a little bit so we can give it out again, and then we're dry and we catch a little bit and give it out again until we're dry. No. We need to be connected to God by His Holy Spirit so that there's a continual flow from us. And then that is the equipping, right? That is what causes us to be able to carry out the commission or the co-mission that God has given us. We want to build a faith community, church. We have to first be able to come and kneel at the feet of Jesus and be with Him, and then teach others how to do the same. Yeah, there's work that needs to be done. There's things that need to happen and take place, and you know, all of that, and that can get wearisome sometimes. Trust me, I've been there, done that before. After 21 years of ministry and 41 years of life of ministry, basically, I know all about getting tired of moving chairs, picking up tables, cleaning toilets, and going and seeing people and getting phone calls when you feel like you're at your lowest, and you get a phone call right then and there, somebody else is low. And understanding then how to be able to walk with God through His Holy Spirit. We cannot lose our first love. And if we have, we need to return back to our first love, which is Jesus Christ. And no offense, but I don't serve you. I serve Jesus. And because I serve Jesus, then I serve you. So if you think that you're going to be able to come to me and dictate to me what needs to happen in this church, you're sadly mistaken. I serve you as I serve Christ. And Christ is the head of His church. Amen? Hallelujah. How many are thankful for that? We find comfort and peace in that, don't we? We find comfort and peace that Jesus Christ is in control. And thank you for that reminder, Pastor Caleb, that yes, we are equipped. We have everything we need. We've been commissioned to go forth. But we cannot do that without first preparing our own hearts and minds every day. Amen. I believe that God has touched your heart and encouraged you today. But this is something that you carry with you. This is not over. This is the beginning of your week. And now you get to carry the presence of God with you all week long. The strength that He's given you, the comfort that He's given you, whatever you've needed today has been provided for you. And I'm so thankful that His presence has been here to do so. If you'll stand to your feet, we'll be dismissed. Do remember, we have Steadfast today. That's at 1:30 out at the Skilled Rehabilitation and Nursing Center in Wyandotte County. We want to go and minister to those folks. And so be there if you can be there today. And help with that ministry. Love on those people. Take your kids. They always love to see the kids there. And then also at 3 o'clock today, we have our Hispanic service. So if you can make that and be a part of that and encourage our Hispanic church, they are part of us. Amen? And so we want to continue to pray for them and be with them. And we're so grateful for all that God is doing in our midst. If you'd bow your heads with me, we'll be dismissed. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for yet another opportunity that we could come and have fellowship one with another as we have fellowship with You. That's what Your word says. And as we are in Your light and in Your presence, we are encouraged by Your Holy Spirit. We are strengthened and built up in our most holy faith. God, I pray that that is what You have accomplished this day, and I believe so and stand in faith that You have done a work and spoken to our hearts and lives today. And that this will help us throughout this week, and we will carry it with us, but will spur us on to that every day We will walk with you, and we will carve out moments in our day to spend time just with you, to build our relationship with you. I thank you for encouraging those and strengthening those that feel weak today. I thank you for comforting those that mourn today. I thank you for healing the sick and afflicted. And I thank you, God, for delivering and saving and transforming people. God, I pray that you would just continue to move and have your way in our lives for the rest of this week. And we declare blessing. May your face shine upon us. May we walk in your peace. And may your grace be multiplied unto our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You have a wonderful Sunday. We love you all. Don't forget to pick up your kids from Kids Church and Nursery.